It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn. In the barn. Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Bean.
All right, and a good Friday morning, y'all. The end of the week is here. It's finally Friday. I need to hear it. I need to hear it. All right, now I feel better. Don't you feel better? You hear that great Friday song and get the blood flowing a little bit. Welcome into the Bet America Radio Network. We're pleased that you've joined us here in the barn for our Friday show. We're going to be joined today by a couple of folks who I've become very fond of that I've gotten to know in the last couple of months. Merv Huber Calvo is going to be joining us from he's with Bet America, and he's our tournament guy and director of product marketing. Merv's going to join us along with Barbara Boley. We're going to have a little tandem call, so we'll have a three-way interview going here. Barbara Boley from the Tournament Edge, one of the most respected tournament handicappers on the circuit out there. And we're going to be talking a lot about not just the big tournament we have coming up at BetAmerica.com tomorrow, the $15,000 tournament. I'll talk about that in a second. But tournament strategy in general, kind of the trending popularity of tournaments, it's really one of the big growing parts of our industry, and I think it's a great thing to talk about. We'll talk about tournament marketing, the Horse Play World Series that's coming up in a few weeks that I'm going to be going down for. We'll have a very fun chat with those two coming up a little bit later. The barn jury makes its return. The jury was out of the judges' quarters last week, mostly because Jason wasn't feeling very good the night we were supposed to do it. But I was going to blame Raider Mike and Evil Seabass. I said that they were sick with Zika virus, but that wasn't really true. I wasn't feeling very good. But so the jury will be back. We'll be debating California Chrome. But before I say why we're going to debate about California Chrome, I figure we should listen back to the stretch call of his performance from yesterday. He was going in kind of his tune-up for the Dubai World Cup, and he was spotting everybody 20-something pounds. And yeah, let's listen to the race, and we'll talk about it afterwards.
In front of Hunting Ground, California Chrome's ahead away. He's running third, coming to the bend. Two lengths to Storm Belt, and then a break to Pit Stop as they turn. Now Chrome is three deep and being asked to go. Success Story flat. Hunting Ground went to him, but California Chrome joined in. They passed the 300 metres mark, and California Chrome takes the lead with Victor Espinosa doing little. He's two lengths, he's three lengths in front. Storm Belt's about to run into second spot, then Hunting Ground. But California Chrome is clear of Storm Belt, and California Chrome glistens under the Maidan lights, winning easily.
So the great Terry Spargo with the call as California Chrome glistens under the Maidan lights. That was a terrible Terry Spargo impression. I'll work on that as we go. But a very easy win for California Chrome, as expected. He was a huge, huge favorite, and that's why he was spotting the horses so much fun. It wasn't like an eye-popping performance, and I don't think it needed to be. It was just a very solid workmanlike win, and probably a good tune-up for the Dubai World Cup. It was at a mile and a quarter, so the distance was certainly a bit of a test for him and the weight and everything. And There was a little reaction of people like, who did he beat? Which is going to happen after every race where there's not a million monsters in there. And he beat who he was up against. He was just doing a nice little tune-up, and he did exactly what he was supposed to do. I think his connections, I think Chrome fans, everybody was more than content and happy with the performance California Chrome gave. It was all that could be asked for. It was just I thought it was a perfect prep. He didn't have to get used up. You could hear Terry Spargo in the race call there about the 300 meter mark, which is 3/16 pole here in America. You could hear Terry kind of letting up on the build up because he knew it was over and it was kind of just going to be a matter of him trotting in and enjoying the rest of the race. But it was a fun morning. Twitter was abuzz with everybody talking about California Chrome, and so it was really cool to see him turn in a sparkling performance, or dazzling, or whatever the adjective you want to use is. So very exciting to see California Chrome turn in such a nice performance this morning in Dubai. One other thing I wanted to talk about on this Friday is the return of racing to Sunland Park after weeks of not being able to run because of an equine herpes outbreak down there. I had talked with Robert Geller early on in this outbreak, and I had wanted to get him on the show. He's the announcer down there and a longtime friend of mine. And he kind of just wasn't really comfortable with coming on and talking about it because he didn't know a lot of the details, and he wasn't sure what was, you know, what they should say and what shouldn't be said and all that kind of stuff. But glad for the folks, the horsemen, the track employees, and the bettors down in the New Mexico area that racing returning at Sunland Park. Apparently the two feature events, though, of the season, the Sunland Oaks and the Sunland Derby are, they're still scheduled, but apparently there is some mystery about whether or not they'll run those two races. But glad to see racing back at Sunland Park. It's a track I've been to a number of times and actually enjoy. I think it's a fun little wintertime track, and they offer some good field size and some good betting opportunities, and it's a fun signal to watch. So happy for everybody at Sunland Park that gets to get back to the world of horse racing. So I'm sure they're tickled about it. We're going to be joined by the jury here in just a second, and we're going to be debating California Chrome. Now, the question for tonight is will California Chrome win the Dubai World Cup? It's pretty simple. Will he or won't he? Of course, we don't know who's all in it, but the jurors, as we've seen, we talked about it yesterday, where Equibay kind of looked into the future and was pretty correct about our buddy Old Dortmund so far. So the jurors will know, and we'll talk to the jurors after this short timeout. Again, coming up later in the show, Merv Huber-Calvo and Barbara Boley going to be joining us to talk about tournament handicapping, tournament playing, and the big tournament we have here coming up here at Bet America tomorrow, Saturday tournament, fee-free. There's an entry fee of $100, but there's no tournament fee. Bet America ain't making a dime off this thing. So 150 players, $100 each equals $15,000 in the pot. So zero takeout essentially is the best way to probably put it. It's going to be it starts about 3:30 p.m. Eastern, features races from Santa Anita, Gulfstream, and Aqueduct. Of course, Gulfstream with that big stakes program of theirs on Saturday. But it's going to be our biggest tournament to date at Bet America, and we'll talk with Merv about that as well as Barbara Boley after the Bet America jury. And don't forget, also tonight is the final of the qualifiers, our Friday night qualifiers for the Horse Player World Series. We've been doing them throughout January and February, and tonight is your final chance to qualify via Bet America for the Horse Player World Series that's coming up at the end of March down in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. So we're going to head out to a short timeout. When we come back, the Bet America jury will be in session.
Hello, this is Kayla Stratt, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, I'm back here on the Bet America Radio Network, and we are now ready for the Bet America jury. Again, coming up after the jury, Barbara Boley and Merv Huber-Calvo are going to be joining us to discuss tournaments and horse racing handicapping tournaments. But first up, it is jury time. So the question that is before the Bet America jury today, California Chrome was very solid in his victory today. But will he be solid in about a month's time when he runs in the $10 million Dubai World Cup? So the question before the jurors, will California Chrome win the Dubai World Cup? Let's go to our first juror. All right, so our first juror of the night, we go down to the 310 area code in Southern California, which I believe is actually the most popular area code according to some recent studies. Welcome in, Raider Mike. Raider Mike, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. California Chrome, a nice win this morning. And the question before the jury is, will California Chrome win the Dubai World Cup?
I got to say no. I mean, I don't know what it is. I mean, I love the horse. I love California Chrome. I root for him. But at the end of the day, Perry Martin's plans just always fall through at the end. I mean, he ran fourth in the Belmont. And they had all the plans last year about running in Dubai and then Ascot and all the turf racing crap, and that all fell through. So I just have a feeling, you know, he looks good. Everything's going right up until the moment, and I just have a feeling it's all just going to go to crap as soon as the gates open.
All right, so Raider Mike, our first jury member with a emphatic no vote. Raider Mike, last week I said that the jurors canceled because you got sick with Zika virus. Are you okay now?
Yes, I'm 100% recovered from Zika.
All right. I know it was a stressful week for you.
Yeah.
All right. Raider Mike joining us, our first juror. So one vote for no for California Chrome. All right. Our next juror to deliberate on whether or not California Chrome will win the Dubai World Cup is the Equibay. Equibay, I was commenting on the show yesterday, your pontification about Dortmund not running in another grade one, let alone winning one. It's looking a little bit stronger as we go.
I know. It's really disappointing because he is such a good horse.
Yeah, well, what can you do? And I heard Songbirds go into the Santa Isabel.
Yeah, that's, I mean, they've been pretty dead set on not dirty, so it's going to be a news, really.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, what do you... I think people, like, have some kind of weird... hope that they're just going to get derby fever and turn around and do it. It's like, no.
Oh, totally. Like, as a fan, I really want her to go. But, I mean, if they don't want it, they don't want it.
Yeah, it'll still make Oaks Day maybe a little bit cooler if she's running in there. But,
oh, for sure.
Equibay, the question before the jury, will California Chrome in a few weeks win the $10 million Dubai World Cup and become the richest American thoroughbred of all time, I believe?
He definitely will.
He will.
I think so, yeah.
You're not a keen ice fan?
I don't think keen ice will ever win another race.
What's he's still eligible for a non-winners of three, right?
Yeah, I think so. He's won his maiden and the Travers. Like, he'll always show up, will always be great at big horse, but I don't think he'll ever win again.
All right, well, the Equibay is going for a yes vote for California Chrome. We'll now move on to our next juror. All right, so we move on to our next juror as we are tied at one right now in the voting. And we go down to Southern California. Welcome in one of the preeminent jockey critics in all of North America. He's Evil Seabass. Evil Seabass, how are you?
I'm good, Jason. How you doing?
We're doing good, man. The question on the table, California Chrome. He had a nice win this morning. Will he or won't he win the $10 million Dubai World Cup and become the richest horse in American racing history?
No, not for me.
Are you a keen ice fan or a frosted fan or just a non-chrome believer?
I tell you what, you know, I love keen ice. And I love him. He's just a great little plodder that, you know, he needs like 3 miles and he still won't get up. But he's fun to watch and fun to root for because, you know, the later the race gets, you're like, maybe he'll pop in the screen. Frosted, you know, 10 furlongs is way too far for him, but... I mean, he's a surprising little one, you know. He seems to like surfers. But for me, California Chrome, he won at 10 furlongs once. And that was because he was just the best horse in the race at that time. Most of those three-year-olds in the country. And it looks like, you know, in some ways, caught up to him. You know, he gets to win again at 10 furlongs. I mean, not without trying.
Well, he won today at 10 furlongs.
Oh, that's true. You're right. He did win against 10 furlongs. You're right. Giving everybody else 15 pounds because he was running against second-level allowance types in Dubai.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a nice race. You know, it was a good prep for him. He got his run over the surface. He looked like he was – I thought he was struggling a little bit. And then he kicked it in, and then it was over with the shouting. But for me, I'm rolling. I'm siding with Mutahish.
All right. You're Mutahish.
I'm saying with Mutahish, I loved his first race off the layoff, and I know he ran like six, and I loved it. Because he got dirt in his face, he sat in probably the worst part of the track, in between horses, never had a chance to win, and finally got into the pit in the last 15 miles. I think he's going to run in the next week. He should be in the prep for the World Cup. If he needs to get a count of himself, I think I can get, you know, maybe 12-1 in the American pool. And that's the beauty of Chrome running in Dubai when we're out here in America. You know, we get good prices on horses that shouldn't be that good of a price.
Very well put, my friend. Well, Evil Seabass, your vote goes down as a no. So the tally now at two no's, one yes for Will California Chrome win the $10 million Dubai World Cup. So we'll move on to our next juror. All right, so we come to our next juror, and we are going to head north of the border up to a beautiful Spruce Grove, Alberta, and welcome in Sam the Syrup Man. Sam, how are you?
Great, Jason. You just interrupted my coffee from Tim Hortons, but I can always make some time for you, my friend.
Well, you know, Sam, we're going to get into the question real quick, but because we didn't have the jury last week, I didn't get to ask you. Your beloved Northlands Park is going to be shuttering horse racing at the end of the season. Your response to that?
Well, initially I was saddened, of course. And live racing is a big part of my summer entertainment. But I also have to note that this will be obvious response to them banning me from coming to their facility. There are big things happen when you ban Josh Hansen. I'm Sam the Syrup Man from Northlands Park.
Very eloquently put, Sam. All right, well, we're going to go on to our question now. So California Chrome, he had a nice win today. And the question before the jury is, will he win the $10 million Dubai World Cup?
I'm going to assume you're looking for a candid answer to this question, Jason. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't give a crap. I don't care about California Chrome. I don't care about racing in Dubai. He can win, he can lose, you know. Chances are it'll be 8:30 in the morning my time. I'm not going to be up playing with my boys, having a coffee, eating some donuts, not worrying about racing over there. If you'd like some thoughts on the first of Gulfstream tomorrow, we can talk. But otherwise, it's just not my cup of tea.
So this is an abstain vote?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just nothing I'm interested in. I don't know who he's racing against. I don't care. I'm not a big bring chrome home guy. I don't. Victor Espinosa can do his thing and dancing with the stars as far as I'm concerned. It's just nothing to do with why I like racing.
Well, there you have it, Sam the Syrup Man, an abstained vote as we move on to our final juror. And the final juror is me, and I am saying that California Chrome will not win the Dubai World Cup. I have a feeling it's going to go kind of like last year. He'll be the favorite, and some random European horse will beat him. I think he can beat Frost and Keen Ice. I think he can beat Moob Tahij. I don't know what the heck Evil Seabass is thinking. I think Moob Tahij is the most overrated horse in the history of ever. But, yeah, I just got a feeling somebody's going to sneak up and get him. So the final tally, 3 votes nay, 1 abstention, and 1 vote yes for California Chrome. So the jury does not feel that Chrome will win the Dubai World Cup. So we're going to head out to a timeout. When we come back, Merv Huber Calvo and Barbara Bowling are going to join us. We're going to talk some tournaments next here on The Barn.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, welcome back to the Bet America Radio Network, and we are pleased to go out to a pair of callers. We're going to do our first tag team tandem interview here as we are joined by Merv Huber Calvo, who is part of our team here at Bet America, the Director of Product Marketing, and Barbara Bowley from the Tournament Edge. Guys, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jason?
Doing awesome. How are you, Jason?
I'm good. I'm up in Seattle, and it's a gorgeous day, and it's supposed to rain for like the next 10 days. So I'm actually recording this interview like right next to my porch, so I can look out the back door.
It's snowing here.
I hate to tell you.
Right.
it's beautiful here in La Jolla, and it's going to stay beautiful. I don't want you to feel envy, but.
Well,
you can come visit anytime.
I'm going down to Vegas for the Horse Player World Series in a few weeks, and we're going to talk about that, guys. But, Merv, I wanted to start with you. Tournaments are pretty new for Bet America. How have they been going for you? I know you're kind of the overseer of tournaments. And what have you learned from running the tournaments so far?
Well, they've been going great. We launched them late last year. I think it was late September, early October, and we started getting going. And They've been a great addition to the site. You know, we're learning a lot. They've grown a lot. In fact, we're getting ready to host our biggest cash tournament this weekend on Saturday with our $15,000 game. You know, we've got new players coming onto the site every day to try the tournament, and we're rolling out product improvements just about every week. So we're rapidly improving the contest, both the product and the cash prizes.
You know, you mentioned the Saturday tournament. We talked about that a little bit earlier in the show. $15,000, and it's entry fee free, right?
Right. there's no fee. All the entry fees that we're taking in are going to be paid out as cash prizes. So we're guaranteeing the prize pool at $15,000. Now, if it sells out, that's all we're taking in. There's no takeout on this contest. So it's a great value. And even if it doesn't sell out, we're still guaranteeing that $15,000 cash prize.
Well, Barbara Boley, who's joining us on the phone, I know an avid tournament player. We were talking before, and you said you were playing a tournament as we speak. So, Barbara, leading up to bigger tournaments like the weekend ones and the NHC and HP, you know, at World Series, what's kind of your pre-tournament routine? Do you have a set way that you prepare for tournaments?
You know, it depends on the tournament, and I can tell you that the first thing that I recommend is to avoid distractions. We have a website, some partners of mine and I, called theturnandmeds.net. We have some basic rules for everybody. We're there to provide you with advice, and the first piece of advice is to avoid distractor capping. So get yourself free from distraction, because this is a contest where you're going to be, in any contest, you're going to want to have as much of an edge as you can. And my first rule is just to lock myself in my own little war room and keep all distractions away. And then I do something that you probably, most people who are fairly new to contests wouldn't think of doing. I start handicapping from the bottom of the race card in the contest upward. So that's where I start, and there's a reason to that madness. I want to know how likely it is I'm going to be able to hit some big prices at the end of the contest. I want to see how the end game works out first. Then I work backwards. And that's how I start. Get a lot of coffee.
Well, it's funny you mentioned, kind of having a quiet space, because when I talked with you at the NHC, you were there for a little while before we got started, and then you kind of vanished, and you had said that you kind of, play a lot from your room as much as you can. Is that just to avoid all the, because NHC obviously is a bit chaotic.
NHC is a madhouse. The HPWS, Horse Players World Series, that's coming up in March, that America is going to have a bunch of qualifiers for and has had. That's a real madhouse. That's even a larger tournament. I prefer to have as much of an edge, as I said, as I can. So for me, that means being in a quiet place where I can really, really concentrate. So it's not that I don't love my fellow players. You know, I love talking. I love chatting. It's a great group of people, but I have people coming up to me and wanting to talk, and I either put on headphones and play some music that might help me concentrate, and there's a lot of selections that, whatever works for you, a lot of things you can play, or I go back up to the hotel room until it's time for me to put a pick in and do my concentrating up there. I'm also a professor, and I don't want to diminish the importance of having the most ideal conditions that you can get for you. If you're somebody that can concentrate, and I tell my students, if you're somebody who can concentrate for anything, like a test, with a lot of noise and stuff around you, sit there and enjoy the atmosphere, soak it in a live contest. Or have anything TV on and kids running around if you're at home doing an online contest. But if you can't, you need to protect yourself from that distraction so you can do your best.
Merv, Barbara mentioned the Horse Player World Series, and we've been doing qualifiers each and every Friday night, so there's obviously one coming up tonight since the show's airing Friday morning. Can you tell us a little bit about those contests? And I know the HPWS is something you've been rather fascinated with.
Sure, yeah, and actually tonight is our last Horse Player World Series qualifier. That'll be the eighth one that we've done, so we're actually sending seven players to this year's Horse Player World Series. We actually had one, Kevin Perot, who you've spoken with on the show previously, who's a dual qualifier. He's qualified twice, so congrats to him and everybody. Now, tonight's contest is going to be different from all the others because we're doing a new scoring system. We're calling it Easy Score or No Bombs Allowed. where most of our contests that we've run to date are based on the standard win place pair mutual payouts, which I think most contest players are familiar with those rules. This is different in that you can pick your horses to finish, you know, first, second, and third, and you get points, standard points based on those, and it has nothing to do with the pari-mutuel payout. So you pick a winner, it's 25 points. You pick a second place horse, it's 10 points. Third, five, according to that schedule. So it's a different game theory. You know, Anthony Trezza wrote a blog on the Tournament Edge just yesterday where he was talking about this new style of play. And he said, it's kind of like wearing a bulletproof vest. You know, you're not going to get stabbed in the last leg by some 50-1 shot who, you know, turns the tournament on its head. So it'll be new. I hope the players like the new style of play, and it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out.
Barbara, you know, one of the things I hear from players who are not tournament players, you know, just regular everyday handicappers, they'll say that, you know, oh, tournaments, it's just everybody fishing for a big bomb. And obviously the tournament Murph just mentioned, that's not going to be the case. But, I mean, do you have to sit and play 20-1 shots in tournaments can you play 5-1, 6-1, 7-1, or even 2 and 3-1 sometimes?
Oh, Jason, you have to just pick every winner, period, at this point. Contest play is all about what we call it the tournament edge, always be cashing, ABC. It's ABC. If the most likely winner of a race is 5 or 6-1, outstanding, take it. If you really think there's a good shot with a 20-1 horse, go ahead and take it. But players really, especially new players, really tend to underestimate the power of accumulating 2-1 and 5-2 and 3-1 horses over a long contest. Those add up, and you ignore them at your peril. There was a time early on in contest play where you could get by more easily, at least with picking bombs and just hitting one or two. Can't do it anymore. The level of handicapping, the skill has increased, I'd say exponentially, in the past 2 or 3 years in horse racing tournaments. And you really need to put all of your skills together and put together a whole kind of a palette, you know, a whole picture of different priced horses that are going to get you points. And absolutely, you have to look for the horses that are, and I love, everybody knows I'm the kind of player that loves to swing for the fences. I can't only swing for the fences, though. You have to look for those horses that are going to win, and just keep moving up the leaderboard. Don't get discouraged early if you didn't hit the winner, and keep plugging away. You'd be surprised how much you can accumulate if you do what we say at the Tournament Edge. Always be cashing. Just keep hitting and don't get discouraged.
Well, that was, we saw the top 10, the final table there at the NHC. I mean, there was a number of points where it was only, you know, a couple of bucks between the next spot up. And, I mean, a couple of bucks in that situation can be 25, you know, 50 grand. Or, you know, obviously, if you're at the top, it's a $700,000 difference or $600,000 difference. So,
yeah,
it's certainly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it can certainly be important. Merv, you have the duty of picking the races for the contest. What do you have a method behind your madness? Is it just about time, or is it about big fields, or is it about the feature races? What goes into planning the tournaments?
Right. Well, I try to balance all of those things. You know, I try to offer some of the most compelling races at the best tracks. And I listen to players. You know, I'm talking to players every single day about what they like, what they don't like. You know, when we had our NHC qualifier, I learned a lot last in November, when I included some races that had shorter fields than the players liked. And I heard a lot about that. And now I've learned from it, and I try to include better races. Like this Saturday's race, this Saturday's $15,000 contest is going to include, you know, the last few races from Aqueduct, the last few from Gulfstream, and a few from Santa Anita. And each of those have great cards, especially Gulfstream Park, which, you know, tomorrow is the Fountain of Youth, and they're offering you know, not just the Fountain of Youth, but some great turf stakes racing and full fields. So it should be a really fun contest.
I want to ask the next question to both of you. And Barbara, we'll start with you because you and I had talked about this. We were having a dinner at Senior Frogs, and we were talking about not only attracting... we were talking about tacos, too. But not only attracting, you know, new players to the tournament world, but also attracting more women players because, you know, you're often... you know, spoke of as one of the top women players, one of the top players. One of the, you know, it gets mentioned maybe more often than it should. What do you think are some of the ways that the tournament world can market more to women?
Oh, what a great question. I think there are so many women out there that are fans of horse racing to start with. There's so many women who have grown up around horses, who have been horsey girls, you know, as kids, have ridden horses and know horses. And I was one of them. I became an assistant trainer, and I really got to know the thoroughbred very well. So a lot of women have an affinity for horses that I think we need to capitalize on. And the way I would start is to go to a place like the tournamentedge.net, which is a website that my partners and I have put together, and start studying. Contact me. I'll extend my hand to anybody who want any woman or guy who'd like to start getting into the contest world. It's fabulous. This is a really great time if you want to look at what Bet America is doing. But I think in general, we need to start making connections with women who are so involved in the sport in general, and just need a little bit of coaching and a little bit of confidence that although it is primarily a male-oriented or, you know, focused kind of endeavor right now, it's something you can do. If you know horses, go in your strengths. I happen to be a very good physicality handicapper because I've been around horses all my life, and that's how I started. I would look at how the horses looked in the post parade, started to learn handicapping a little bit. This was just a few years ago, and I'm now at the top of the leaderboard in a lot of contests around the country on a regular basis. It can be done, and I'll extend my hand. Contact us at contact at the tournamentedge.net, and we'll be happy to help coach.
And Merv, for you as somebody who works, you know, in marketing and trying to develop new tournament players, what do you think, or what have you found so far has been successful to, you know, creating new tournament players and getting folks to find interest in tournaments?
Well, education is definitely key, and that's why we're so lucky to be partnering with the Tournament Edge. I think it is about finding that camaraderie and those people that can help you explain, you know, what is it, what is a handicapping contest, how can I play handicapping contests, and how can I be successful at it. You know, I think I met Barbara 3 years ago when I first started administering online contests for the first time, and you know, she actually taught me a lot about contests, because even though I've been, you know, running contests and playing in some versions of contests since I was a teenager, about dating back to, you know, Road to the Roses, Barbara taught me a lot about, you know, what makes a good contest and how to play. And now I'm, you know, we were talking about this before we started recording, you know, me and Barbara are both playing in contests on a daily basis now, and it's a lot of fun. So once you get onto the site and learn how to play, it's really fun to compete in horse races in a different way.
One thing I found, at least for me, I was never exposed to the tournament world until going to the NHC, and it kind of opened my eyes to just the whole thing, and I've kind of been excited and following it, you know, since then. But how do people see tournaments? Because, you know, so many of them obviously now are online. There are on-site ones. I think maybe coverage of tournaments is something we need to work on.
Oh, we absolutely do. We need to make this a regular part of the horse racing scene.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of very interesting people who do this from all walks of life, and there are all different levels at which they play, and you can, getting back to your previous question, you can start at a really basic level with free contests and contests for a few dollars. I mean, Bet America is a great place to look for some very basic contests that won't break the bank while you learn. And I really strongly recommend that people just get the feel for the difference between regular handicapping, if you do that, and contest play. And there's a lot of ways to do that, but education is the key. And Bet America, we're sort of the tournament ends. We're kind of like the consumer report sometimes for tournaments. And I just want to say to all of you out there who are at any level, right now, Bet America is really moving into the contest world, and there are a lot of opportunities for games that, like the fee-free game tomorrow, and for guaranteed games where you may not, where you're not quite be filling it because Bet America is so new. This is a great time for you to take a look at what's happening at Bet America and get a feel for the different kind of games you like, whether you like ones that are pre-selected where you have to put in all your selections ahead of time, or ones that you play live. As a person who does physicality handicapping myself, I like to see the horses. As a woman who's grown up around horses and seen thousands and thousands over the years, I want to see what my horse looks like, and not have it just be a set of numbers on a piece of paper. I want to look at the athlete that the horse is. And I really feel that, you know, there's a place for all kinds of contests, and there's also a place for us to focus on the different kinds of players. And getting back to your question on women, I think, you know, we should connect with women who are fans and experts about horse racing, and it'd be great to cover some of them and see how they do through the year.
Barbara,
I have to make one more comment about the coverage. I just have to give props to the NTRA. We were out at the NHC and we had a great time out there. I thought they did a great job covering the event. They brought in a dedicated social media team. I thought Jenny Reese did a great job putting together her blog and getting everything that was happening there out on social media. You know, Barn was broadcasting live out there. I saw some other radio networks doing the same. So I thought the coverage was good, and I'm sure Barbara's going to agree with me here. It's so exciting to be part of the racing industry that is just exploding in growth. The handicapping contest world is growing so fast. It's sometimes hard to keep up. You know, the NHC had a record purse this year. The Horse Player World Series coming up has a record purse this year. They're expecting it to be over $1 million. So it is. It's really exciting to be part of something that's growing so fast.
Yeah, we had Michael Baychok on from the Tournament Edge last week, and he had said that, Barbara. He goes, you know, tournaments right now are one of the few, if not, you know, one of the main growth points of the industry right now.
Oh, it's the main growth point overall.
Yeah.
There's no question as far as the main areas in horse racing. This is it, and it appeals to a wide section of our constituents in horse racing. It appeals to younger people who may be coming over from daily fantasy sports and are used to doing online gaming. It appeals to the traditional fan. More and more people who are traditional handicappers that I see at these contests now, because the money is there. The great thing about that I recommend to everybody about contest, and even those who are starting out, is that you have to realize that you can actually control, you really can control your fees and your bankroll in a way that's a little harder to do in regular wagering. So you enter a contest for the day, and you, even if you're just having fun, you put in your $25 for a contest. Let's say that's a mid-level contest. And you handicap a whole card. I mean, you've got that you know, that control, you know, your $25 is in and that's it for today. It's not like you're like, oh shoot, I just lost that race. Let me see if I can pick up the pick four since I lost the pick five. And you know, you have that issue of trying to chase after your losses. And in the contest world, it's sort of like a much more controlled setting, and you can pick your spots much more carefully. Whether you play a $3 contest or a $25 contest, or you go for the very high stakes, and where there's really a lot of money to be made. And I say this as somebody who does this, as we're just about every day. The money's there. The money's being grown exponentially in this dimension of horse racing. So, it's getting to be a little more difficult to do well at the top level. It's getting more and more competitive. But get in now, learn it now, get your skills, and it won't take you long to be extremely competitive if you apply your handicapping skills or start learning handicapping skills and just finding your niche and moving on up.
Murph, do you see the contest, as far as popularity, entries, and all that kind of stuff, is it similar to the regular racing as far as, you know, Saturdays are the biggest day, Sundays are a good day, Fridays and Friday nights are pretty good, or is there good tournament action all throughout the week?
Well, there is good tournament action all throughout the week. You know, a lot of players, they have their favorite tracks, so, you know, they will hold out and wait until Aqueduct or Gulfstream is there, and we do see upticks on big days when there's big stakes races and more eyeballs are on it. But you know, the good thing about a contest is that, you know, you know what you're getting into. There's a set prize pool, there's a set entry fee, just like Barbara was talking about. So, you know, you can play in that contest at Gulfstream on Saturday, or you can come back on Monday at Mahoning Valley and play in the same type of game with the same type of races and get the same type of prize.
Do you think people are kind of habitual in their tournament play? Like some guys love, you know, playing each Friday night, and you know, some folks always play the Tuesday thing. Or do people mix it up pretty good?
You know, I think it varies by person. You know, some people I think are pretty disciplined and then will show up on Fridays and Saturdays when they've got the time to play in these contests. And some people are just sickos like me who will play every day.
we're being joined by Merv Huber Calvo from Bet America and Barbara Boley from the Tournament Edge. And Barbara, the tournament that we've been talking about a little bit for Bet America that's coming up tomorrow, you know, it's all mandatory races, as a lot of, you know, online contest races are. Things like the Horse Player World Series, I think there's a lot more elective kind of races. Do you have a preference on whether it's, you know, mandatory or you know, choice races?
I like them both for different reasons. I like mandatory races like tomorrow's the 15K at Bet America, because you have, especially on a regular day, you've got your set amount of time you can devote to a set amount of races, and you know what you're getting into. You know, you're going to be spending 5 hours, let's say, on studying and then playing. But I love the action and the challenge of contests like the Horse Player World Series, where you're going to be able to pick from a wide variety of tracks, and there are a limited number of mandatory races. Last year at the Horse Player World Series, I won the third day's prize, the top money. I got the top score for the day because I found some crazy long shots at Laurel. You were able to actually, it was so open that you're actually able to bet or select two horses in the same race. And it was this maiden race where through physicality handicapping, and that works really well in maiden races, I saw these two crazy good-looking specimens of maidens who were, as I recall, something like, you know, 35-1 and 18-1. And I said, I love both of these horses. They could either win. And they came in, you know, I got the exact. They came in 1-2. And that propelled me early in the day near the top, and then I found another really big long shot later. But it's so grueling to do that over a three. I want to warn everybody who's going to the HPWS for the first time, it is a challenge and a half to keep up with the number of races that are available for you to choose from, and select, without a lot of restrictions. It's exhausting to do that for 3 days. Be ready, eat your Wheaties, whatever it is you do, take your energy shots. Be ready for a marathon. But I love the challenge of that, and it's really exciting. Also, one thing I want to say, this is true for every contest in which there's a large number of entrants. You're not going to be on every single high-priced horse that comes in. You're going to hear a lot of cheering in the ballroom, and you may not be on that horse. Just keep your head down. Keep playing. There's a lot of psychology involved in a big game like that. And while it's a lot of fun, you're also going to have to be very disciplined in keeping yourself focused.
Yeah,
and that's a big key.
That was one of the things I kept asking people about the NHC, because, first or second race, there'll be a cap horse. And I'm just thinking, I would have just been like, I got no shot. I'm going home now. and I know you can't do that.
You can't. Oh, it's such a psychological situation. It really is. That's why I put on my earphones or go up to the hotel room. I kind of try to avoid getting psyched out by that. When half the room starts cheering, you just put your head in your hands. You're like, oh my God, I missed that one.
Yeah.
You have to protect yourself against that somehow.
And before we let everybody go, Merva, where can folks get signed up for Bet America, what's the best way to get involved in the tournament scene there?
You can just go to betamerica.com. We've got a great sign-up bonus, a $300 deposit match on your first deposit. It's released at a 10% rebate, and that includes contest play, so it's a great value. Once you're signed up and go to the website, just click on the orange button that says Handicapping Contest. That'll take you to the lobby, and it'll show you all the contests that we've got. If you're looking for the big $15,000 game this Saturday, it's right at the top. We've got it pinned, so it should be very easy to find.
So if I go sign up for my new Bet America account, I put $300 in. You guys put it the $300 match, and I'll see it as a little side amount. But let's say my first thing I do is buy into the $100 $15,000 tournament. Essentially, I'm going to get $10 of that back.
Right away.
All right. So now it's a $90 buy-in, and you got an overlay.
There you go.
All right. Well, hopefully, folks check that out. And Barbara, tell us a little bit. Where can they find the Tournament Edge, and what all are they going to find there?
Oh, it's an awesome site. It's by top contest players: Michael Baychok, 2012 NHC champion; Anthony Trezza, who is one of the absolute top players in the game, has won almost every major online tourney, and myself as the third major partner. It's an educational website for contest players, so it's by contest players for contest players, and just go to the Tournament Edge. All one word, thetournamentedge.net. And we've got blogs. You can contact us, and we'll be happy to help you get into this game. We've got picks that are geared toward both handicapping and contest play. We've got videos. We've got a lot of great content for you to get into this, and a lot of people who want to help. So be aware of that site, and we'll be happy to help you.
All right. Well, Merv Huber Calvo and Barbara Bulley, really appreciate you guys both joining me, and we will certainly catch up with you both as we get closer and closer to the Horse Player World Series, or as I'm calling it, my 3-week Vegas vacation.
No, it's going to be a working vacation.
Yeah. Me and Merv going to the buffet. That'll be the work. All right, guys, we will catch up with you both soon, and we will be back right after this short timeout. It's the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, so my thanks to Merv Huber Calvo and Barbara Boley for joining us and talking a little bit about the tournament scene. It's such an up-and-coming part of our racing and handicapping world, so it's fun to have a discussion with them. Speaking of tournaments, don't forget tonight your last chance to win one of those Horseplayer World Series qualifiers at Bet America. And tomorrow, of course, the big tournament we just talked about, $100 buy-in. No extra fees, no house fees or whatever, no takeout. There's going to be 150 players with $100 each, $15,000 up for grabs in that big Saturday tournament, the biggest tournament we've had here at BetAmerica.com. So get to BetAmerica.com, sign up. If you haven't yet, don't forget we have that $300 match bonus. So if you deposit $100, we'll match you for $100. If you deposit $200, all the way up to $300 for that match. So we hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. It's going to be a great weekend of racing, and we will see you guys back here on Monday for a fresh Monday Barn. We'll recap all that weekend action. Everybody have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you on Monday.